Chapter 23. The room was typical of my usual hotel experience, clean, plain, and empty. I made sure the blinds were pulled, looked around, and shoved the small round table at one side of the room over against the wall to leave me some open space in the middle of the floor. I slung my backpack down on the bed. "Need anything?" Murphy asked. She stood in the doorway to the room. She didn't want to come in. "Think I have it all. Just need some quiet to get it set up." There was no reason not to give Murphy a way out of the awkwardness the conversation had brought on. "There's something I'm curious about. Maybe you could check it out." "Pell's Theater," Murphy guessed. I could hear some relief in her voice. "Yes. Maybe you could cruise by it and see what's to be seen." She frowned. "Think there might be something in there?" "I don't know enough to think anything yet, but it's possible," I said. "You get a bad feeling about anything, don't hang around. Just vamoose." "Don't worry," she said. "I already planned to do that." She went to the door. "Shouldn't take me long. I'll contact you in a half an hour, let's say." "Sure," I said. Neither one of us voiced what we both were thinking, that if Murphy missed the check-in, she'd probably be dead, or dying, or worse. "Half an hour." She nodded and left, shutting the door behind her. Mouse went over to the door, sniffed at it for a moment, then walked in a little circle 3 times and settled down on the floor to sleep. I frowned down at the carpet and opened my backpack. Chalk wouldn't do for a circle, not on carpet like that. I'd have to go with the old standby of fine white sand. The maids would doubtless find it annoying to clean up, but life could be hard sometimes. I pulled out a glass bottle of specially prepared sand and put it on the table, along with the main blob of Play-Doh, and bobbed the skull. Orange lights kindled in the skull's eye sockets. "Can I talk now?" "Yeah," I said. "You been listening to things?"
"Yeah," Bob said, depressed. "You are never going to get laid."
I glared at the skull.
"I'm just saying," he said, voice defensive. "It isn't my fault, Harry. She'd probably bang you if you didn't take it so god-awful seriously."
"The subject. Change it," I suggested in a flat voice. "We're working now."
"Right," Bob said. "So you're planning on a standard detection web ward for the building?"
"Yep," I said.
"It isn't going to be very helpful," Bob said.
"I mean, by the time something manifests enough to set off your web, it's going to be all the way into the real world. While you're running for the stairs, it's already going to be tearing into somebody."
"It isn't perfect," I said, "but it's all I've got, unless you have a better idea."
"The thing about having several centuries of experience and knowledge at my disposal is that it doesn't do me any good, unless I know what it is you want me to help you fight," Bob said. "So far, all you know is that you've got an inbound phobophage."
"That's not specific enough?"
"No," Bob said. "I can think of about 200 different kinds of phobophages off the top of my head. And I could probably come up with 200 more if I took a minute to think about it."
"That many of them who can do what this thing did? Take a solid form and attack?"
Bob looked at me as though he thought me very thick.
"Believe it or not, the old take the form of the victim's worst fear routine is pretty much the most common move in the phobophage handbook."
"Oh, right," I shook my head.
"But this whole place is open territory. There's no threshold to use to anchor anything heavier than a web. At least if I do that much, maybe I can get into position fast enough to directly intervene when the thing shows up again."
"Things," Bob corrected me. "Plural. Phages are like ants. First one shows up, then 2, then 100. I exhaled.
"Crap," I said. "Maybe we can come at this from a different angle. Is there any way I could redirect them while they're crossing over? Make it harder for them to get here?"
Bob's eye lights brightened.
"Maybe. Maybe, yes. You might be able to raise a veil over this whole place from the other side.
Irk, I said, you're saying I could hide this place from the phages, but only from the never-never?
Pretty much. Even then, it would be a calculated risk.
How so?
It all depends on how they're finding this place, Bob said. I mean, if these are just naturally arriving phages, finding a hunting ground, a veil won't stop them. It might slow them down, but it won't stop them.
Let's assume that it isn't a coincidence, I said.
Okay, assuming that, the next variable is finding out whether they're being summoned or sent.
I frowned. There are things strong enough to send them through from the other side? I didn't think that ever happened anymore, hence the popularity of working through mortal summoners.
Oh, it's doable, Bob assured me. It just takes a hell of a lot more juice to open the way to the mortal world from the other side.
I frowned. How much power are we talking?
Big, Bob assured me. Like the Earl King, or an archangel, or one of the old gods.
I got a shivery feeling in my stomach. A fairy queen?
Oh, sure, I guess so.
He frowned.
You think this is fairy work?
Something is definitely screwy in Elfland, I said. More so than normal, I mean. Bob made a gulping sound.
Oh, we're not going to go visiting the fairies or anything, are we?
Not if I can help it, I said. I wouldn't take you with me if it came to that.
Oh, he sighed. Good.